All right, we are going to go back into Romans 13 after looking at many things and thinking about the current climate we're in, and we have to talk about what the Bible says with regard to submission to authorities and what the Bible says with regard to government. And it's just it just feels like a timely discussion, and there's a lot to kind of pull out of these few verses here today that we're going to go through. And when Paul spent his time writing the words he wrote in chapter 12, and he talked about marks of a true Christian, and we talked about how to live our own lives and how we get along with one another and all those wonderful things, he takes that and moves into this just really incredible description of what our responsibilities are to the government. But as he's telling us what our responsibilities are to government and to authorities, he's also really talking about government's ministry. And I don't know that I've ever really used those terms before in teaching this particular chapter. But if you look at Romans 13, and we're going to read just the first two verses and talk about this morning, and then see where we go after that. But in chapter 13, Paul says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." He says, "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." And you get this feeling of an absolute approach. You get this feeling where Paul is saying, listen, you've got to be subject to the authorities. You've got to essentially do what they tell you. You've got to follow this guideline. And it makes me think about how and was it in John 19, I think it was, that Jesus told Pilate that essentially you would have no authority if it wasn't given to you from above. And by the way, I love what AI does. I was Googling that verse this week. And Google now gives you these AI responses that are generated automatically. And it gave me a synopsis of that verse. And I just want to see some of the things that came up. And it actually said, Jesus is telling Pilate that he would have no authority if it wasn't given to him from a higher ranking official.
A.K.A. God?
Exactly, yes.
How brilliant.
Yes, a higher ranking official has told him, you have this power. So,
oh boy.
Yes, that's what given to you from above means to AI. So,
it's kind of like a, for AI, it's more like a general, right?
Yes, or, yeah. Yeah, it didn't have the same interpretation as what we would have looking at it. But so we want to take that, we want to break that apart for a minute. Before we do that, though, let's look at these things that Paul is saying about the authorities. He says, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So we talked a little bit last week about judgment. That was a topic that kind of came up in part of our discussions. And we talked about how governments are put in place for a certain purpose, and that governments are an institution that God uses for certain purposes. So Paul is really saying here that when we look at the authorities and we look at the governing authorities around us, those people that are in some sort of power, that truly they are there, one, because God put them there, because he has all authority, and that they are there for a purpose, and that purpose really is to serve God. And when you look at the way that he states this, he says that if we resist the authorities, we are essentially resisting the power that God has put in place. And so let's talk about this from an all-inclusive perspective, right? If this is something that we're supposed to just take as a snapshot that we've read right there, this is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough on multiple fronts.
Mm-hmm.
But think about what Paul went through.
I was thinking about that too. Coming from a guy that's in and out of jail a lot.
Yes. Yeah, this is coming from a guy who has had some issues with the authorities and those who are in charge and those who are in command. And so if there was ever a time when we should be interpreting scripture in light of scripture, it's now. It's really now. Because there are plenty of examples throughout scripture where Paul himself did not follow this as an absolute. Plenty of times when we see the opportunity given to follow the authorities, when the authorities are telling you to do something that is the opposite of what God would have you do, and yet those that we're reading about in scripture are going the other direction. And you could even say are performing civil disobedience to an extent, right?
Well, I know Steve can attest to this too. Being in the military, you know, the president is our commander in chief, and we've served enough years and we've been through enough administrations that I'm sure either one of us wasn't really too happy with maybe who was the commander in chief, but they were still the commander in chief, you know what I'm saying, and still had to respect that authority in that position and that. But you're exactly right. It didn't mean that we agreed with some of their stances, you know what I'm saying? And it was unbiblical in a lot of them type thing, you know.
So. Yeah.
One of the things that they instituted, you know, while we were in, things that just had no place in the military, social experimentation that it's still, and it's even 20 times worse now than what it was when I was in.
And we see it now, we see it in scripture. So can we wrap Paul's words up here in some sort of caveat that says that with the understanding that God has put governments in charge, or it is God's will that these people be where they are, if what they are doing is in accordance with God's word, then they're obviously not misusing their power. But power can be misused.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about somebody reading this and their leader is Adolf Hitler.
Exactly.
We even got God put Pontius Pilate in that position at that time.
At that time?
At that moment. He served a purpose, whether we don't maybe want to admit that or acknowledge it or whatever, he did serve a purpose, and I think it was God led, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. Well, I know it was, because you know, he had to, you know, I know he tried to do everything to get out of, you know what I'm saying, that.
Yeah. Well, he just wanted to, he didn't want the responsibility.
Right. He did not want the responsibility. But yeah, I think he was put in place at the right moment, right time by God.
Yeah, even when he said, you know, and that whole discussion even gets wider, right? Because it's interesting that God put him there and he served a purpose, and the argument could almost be made that he was doing God's will, and yet it seems like he was doing bad. He was doing wrong.
But that had to be done.
It had to be done.
It had to be done.
And God was going to bring about his purposes through whatever means necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even Judas, now Judas wasn't in a position necessarily of authority or governmental authority.
Yes.
But he served a purpose, you know what I'm saying? That was, it was basically prophesied, you know what I'm saying, that he what he would do. None of us would want to serve that purpose, that's for sure. I think Judas realized that, didn't he? Then too late. I don't know if his heart was in the right place, still, even unless he realized it. But yeah.
Well, there's, let me go through a couple of things here. It says we need to be cautious, however, in our interpretation of Paul's statements. He cannot be taken to mean that all the Caligulas, Herods, Neros, and all the Hitlers and Stalins and Saddams of our time were personally appointed by God, that God is responsible for their behavior, or that their authority is in no circumstances to be resisted. Paul means rather that all human authority is derived from God's authority, so that we can say to rulers what Jesus said to Pilate, "You will have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Pilate misused his authority to condemn Jesus. Nevertheless, the authority he used to do this had been delegated to him by God. And so it goes on John Stott's writings. He goes on to point out several cases throughout Scripture where it was necessary to go against what the authorities had said, because the direct words that the authorities were using were in direct opposition to what God would have you do. And so he brings up this interesting perspective here that in Scripture, when we find people going against the government, when the apostles are told, stop preaching, and they do it anyway, what's their purpose in that? I just want to make sure we have this picture correctly.
The government's purpose?
The disciples' purpose. What would be their, what is their driving force when they go against the government?
If it's self-fulfilling, then it'd be wrong.
It would be wrong.
God told them specifically to do this, and now they have a different leader telling them no. And ultimately, God is higher than that leader. So if God gave them that specific direction, then you go what God says.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, they were serving God.
And I think that's the thing that we in today's world has a really hard time with, and that is, there will be folks who will use Scripture as an excuse for civil disobedience. And they'll go back and take a look at what the disciples did, what the Hebrew children did in disobeying Nebuchadnezzar. There's countless examples throughout Scripture.
Well, it's kind of like the abortion clinics, right? If I go and I blow one of those up, right, I'm going, well, hey, it says thou shalt not kill, they're killing babies, but then I was what people,
that takes us back to our last couple weeks discussions when Paul says do not repay evil for evil,
right.
How do you overcome evil when you're adding to the evil in the world, right? So you've got to keep all that in mind when you start talking about civil disobedience and going against the government. Is your mission to prove the government wrong, or is your mission to be obedient to what God has called you to do? And I think one of the concerns, or one of the things where we can get so quickly lost in, is that you can justify disobedience to the government so long as you are just obeying God out of the will and the desire to obey Him. But if your drive is simply, you're not going to tell me what to do, then there's problems. There's problems. And whenever we see this in Scripture, it is because you've got folks who are, they're just desiring to obey God and do what they know that God has called them to do, or at least what is right in God's eyes. But then continue to take a look here. There are three different times here where Paul points out in these two verses that it is completely God who is in charge of all these things, regardless of who he's put there. No authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. And so if you resist the authorities, then you are resisting what God has appointed. So even though in those first two verses, he's taking the opportunity to give an awful lot of credit and power to the authorities, he's really giving everything to God. Everything to God. We have responsibility to the government, but that responsibility really is our responsibility to God. It's our respect to God. It's our desire to serve God that should have us give respect to the authorities that are there, which also means we've got to take a look at what are they asking us to do? And is it right or is it wrong?
Yeah, I was just thinking, well, this might be going a little bit off, but Christ, when he was dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, which I guess technically weren't in charge of the government or anything like that, but they were trying to, you know, get kind of petty men like, well, now wait, and doesn't the law say you shouldn't work on the Sabbath to get your healing, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, and things like that. And it's like, I just think it's, of course, Christ is perfect, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, and his answers and everything were just perfect. And but I look at that and again, maybe it's getting a little bit off of what we're talking
well,
about.
Well, no, it falls right in line because he's basically, his response is, is it wrong to serve God?
Right.
Yeah.
would God want us to heal someone, whether it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying? Say, hey, sorry. But sorry about your luck. I would be able to make sure that you could see today or that you could walk, but hey, it's Sunday, it's a Sabbath or whatever, Saturday, I
guess. Saturday,
or whatever. You're gonna have to come back Sunday, you know, or Monday or whatever, you know.
Yeah, suffer for another 24 hours, I'll be able to help you.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Or until the sun goes down.
Right.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think it's on par. If you look at verse 3, he goes on to say that for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. Again, let's talk about Paul. Do what is good and you will receive his approval. Paul was trying to do nothing but good and wound up in jail half the time. These statements are not completely, you know, broad brush truths that we're supposed to take to heart and say, well, as long as I'm doing God's work, the authorities are going to be kind to me. Not only that, but they're going to commend me. Now, I was reading also this week that they're up until about the second century AD, there are all sorts of things found in history where authorities would commend people's good deeds and good works and actually quote this from scripture to say, we're supposed to do this. Nowadays, it's not quite as, they're more concerned about, you know, keeping, punishing the wrongdoers. I guess every now and then somebody still gets a key to the city.
On the other side, you were mentioning, you know, praying, or, you know, blowing up an abortion clinic. You know, our government right now is putting 81-year-old grandmothers in prison for praying outside of an abortion clinic. For praying.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, things
our
are just
government, our
going so far south. I hadn't heard about that situation, but we do know that things have gone so far south that our freedoms have been encroached upon terribly, absolutely terribly. So we know that the government doesn't always do what is said here, but what it does allow us to do is to have a correct picture of what government should be doing if they are in step with what God is appointing them to do. says he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. So the government has the power for punishment. The government has the power to, I believe that this is telling us that the death penalty is something that is biblical, as difficult as it might be to grasp. It says, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So Paul is giving a pretty heavy-handed level of responsibility. That's what I'm trying to come up with here. A level of responsibility to the government to say that in handing out punishments and in you incurring the wrath of the government, essentially, it's something that God has ordained. So if you have done wrong, and because of that, you are being punished, you are, you know, whatever, you're in prison, whatever it may be, this is what God has said is the right thing to be accomplished. And again, thinking about Paul, how does he get to say these things so confidently, knowing what he went through, knowing how he faced the criticism and the persecution, and in doing what he was called to do, it landed him in jail, and he was punished tremendously for doing the right thing.
Over and over.
Over and over.
His reward wasn't here on earth. His reward was so much higher.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you mentioned Hebrew children before. I think the whole story of Nebuchadnezzar really fits well into this, because, you know, you see him really punishing God's people, but probably only he could have done that at that time. And how that is a good thing is kind of hard to wrap our minds around. But then also to see, like, Daniel and the three in the fiery furnace, mm-hmm. and them refusing to bow down to his statue, and then for later to see that same great king humbled, you know, mm-hmm. acting like
mightily humbled.
Yeah. I think you just get to see a really broad scope of how God is definitely in charge in that situation, but it's hard to wrap your mind around the terrible things that happen in this.
Without a doubt. Well, you mentioned Daniel, and it reminded me of Darius. Yeah. And, you know, don't pray to anybody but me. And he's like, don't have to go against that one. You know, we're not gonna. I can't. VeggieTales always comes to mind on that one.
I was thinking the Belshazzar. Have you ever heard the Johnny Cash song about that?
Oh, I don't know if I have or not.
Oh, it's about the story of Daniel and Belshazzar.
Really? I don't think I've ever heard that. I'll have to look that up. There are all kinds of places in Scripture where we can see God's power. We can see what Paul was really doing here, that was giving us a picture of what government is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It's the right view of government. It is our responsibility. We briefly talked about judgments last week. This is a time when we take all the Scripture together and realize that we have every responsibility and every right to judge the actions of government. We need to just be able to discern rightly what we are following, what we are doing, the decisions we are making. If we're going to go against the government, what's our reasoning for it? But there are times when it should be done. There are times when it should be done.
I think, though, too, you know, whether it's that grandmother I spoke of, or you know, Paul, and, you know, Daniel, any of them, if you're doing it for God and you're doing it under His will, under His authority, you know, whether or not you get your reward in this world or in heaven, you're it's going to be noticed. God's noticing. You're going to be rewarded for that.
Well, and that's a true test too. I mean, I don't want to say that we should always look at what we're doing and make sure that we're putting ourselves at risk to judge whether or not we're following God. But when we talk about all these different instances we brought up where folks have gone against the government, it's been a dangerous scenario. They have put themselves in harm's way to make this decision. And it's like Crystal just said about Paul. He was looking forward to his reward beyond what's on earth. And in every situation, these folks who are going against what the government has said have a firm grasp on, you know what, this may be the end of me. The Hebrew children knew that they were going to be thrown into the fire. And they knew that their God would protect them, but you know, some may call it a cop-out, but they also knew that if God did not deliver them from the fire, they could still trust whatever God had in store for them was better than disobeying him and bowing down to a statue. And if our faith is that strong, and I hope and pray it is, we too should be able to stand up to things that are wrong and not fear the one who can harm us in this world, but instead know that we need to be obedient and serve the one who will, as provided for us beyond this earth. I want to say, I've never been in a situation where I had to stand up the way that Daniel did, or the way that the Hebrew children did, or the way that Paul did. I don't think I've ever been in that type of a situation. I pray that I would have the faith to do it, because we get attached to worldly things. And by I don't mean just things, I mean our families are, you know, and there are a lot of thoughts that go through your mind of, wow, if I'm in a situation where this could lead to death, or it could lead to imprisonment, or it could lead to whatever, do I have what it takes to stand up and to really trust God that the snapshot of what I see right now really, really is not important? It's fulfilling God's will and staying true to him that matters most. And that's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. I don't know. Man, makes you think about a lot of stuff that's going on. All these people who are protesting at the colleges, and you know, it's just they're going against the government for their own personal beliefs. There'll be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of reckoning.
I just hope we don't get the "not my president" again, no matter what the falls.
I know.
They are. You might not like it.
Yeah.
But they are.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Decisions they make, whether or not you elected them, you voted for them, or feel the decisions they make affect you. Mm-hmm.
But if we truly take to heart what Paul says, that those who are in authority are put there by God. You can talk about voting, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. God's in control, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I was, several years ago when I was working at Meyer Tool, I had a guy back there that in the grinding department, he was so outspoken against the current president at the time. I think it was Clinton. But he was so outspoken. And he came in one day and he said, "I'm not going to say anything negative about a president anymore." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I heard my son talking the other day, and my son said, well, he's not my president." And he said, I had to stop him and say, "Well, hold on a minute. he is. He's like, "But Dad, you keep saying this, you keep saying that, and you keep..." And he said, "I didn't realize what I was teaching my child." And he said, "I'm not happy about who got elected, but he's still my president." Yeah. And it's just, that is the way it is. And so he said, I need to teach my child to respect the government, that essentially the government that God's put in place. And respecting it does not always mean that we are obedient to whatever they say, but it does mean that we are respectful of what God has put in place. Yeah. And so it's a great point, Crystal, that we need to watch that. Watch that. Any other comments here before we close? Because it's time's gotten away from us again. Don't y'all wish you were out there running down the hall?
You see me running up and down that hall, we got bigger problems.
Yeah.
You better start looking for something that's big.
What's that meme on Facebook? If you see me run, things have gone badly, you should run too.
Yeah, you should run too.
Thanks a lot.
If you see me running, things have gone poorly,
you should run too. Exactly, you gotta run
too. All right, let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you so much for, as always, for preserving it for us and giving us the ability to sit here today and study it and just to draw closer to you through that process. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we depart from this room and enter into the sanctuary, Lord. Be with those who lead the worship service. And Lord, we just pray for hearts and minds to be open to the message and that relationships will be formed and existing relationships will be strengthened. Lord, just thank you so much for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.